Today's daf is Shkolim Daf Tes Zayin, and we are three lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph Mishenignas Ha'orin. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza and Avadya Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is being learned Iloy Nishmas Avram Ben Yibodol Chaim Toivim Remoisha Chaim. So the Gemara is in the middle of discussing the Oroin, as in the Oroin of the Mishkan and of the Beis HaMikdash. So how did we come in Masechet Shkolim to a sugya that's related to the Aron? The Mishnah had mentioned the 13 shofaros, the 13 tevos, the 13 boxes that were shaped like shofaros in which people would deposit their donation. We mentioned that there were other significances of the number 13. Shloisha Asa Shefarois, Shloisha Asa Shulchanois, and then we saw there were also 13 Hishtachavoyois that were done on the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah said that Rabbi Gamliel's family and Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyhanim's family used to bow down not 13 times, but rather 14 times. Now the Mishnah never explained what the purpose of the 13 are, and where the 13 Ishtachavoyas were. But the Mishnah starts backwards and mentions that why would Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kehanim's family have felt that there should be a 14th Ishtachavoy? It's because they believed that there was a part of the Beis HaMikdash that was very holy, that no one really knew, but they had a Messiah about. And that is the Dir HaEitzim, a chamber where they used to keep wood. What could have possibly been so Kaddish about the Dir HaEitzim that these two Choshava families, these two Mishpachis, Miuchasis, B'Yisrael felt that it warranted a Hishtachavah? So the Mishnah says, because they believed that that's where the Orin was hidden. After Yoshio HaMelech realized that the Churban was imminent, he was afraid that Nebuchadnezzar or Melech Bavel would come at some point and take the Arin to Bavel. And that was something that Yoshio felt had to be prevented at all costs. So he did something that was a Hirah Shah, was a very big Chiddush. He hid the Arin, which meant that for the latter years of Bayis Rishon, the Yidden did not have an Arin. And it was because Yoshio felt that that was very much the proper thing to do. Where did he hide it? Says the Tana of the Mishnah, the Rabbi Gamliel's family, Rabbi Chinas Kanakiyam's family, had a Messiah that he hid it in the Dir HaEitzim, and it's for that reason they would make a Hishtachava over there. So the Gemara began with a digression, meaning it began focusing on that point, whether in fact that is where the Arun was hidden, or perhaps the Arun was hidden somewhere else, or perhaps it wasn't hidden at all. And what emerged from the Aftez Vav Amid Beis in Yerushalmi Shkolim is three opinions as to what exactly happened to the Arun at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. Rabbi Eliezer Gadol says that the Arun was never hidden. Rather, it went into Golos together with all the other Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, not to be confused with Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish was an Amora. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish was a Tana. He said that it was hidden, the Arun. And where was it hidden? It was hidden b'mkoyma. It was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then finally, the third shita was the shita of the Stam Mishnah Masechet Shkolim. It's what the Braiser refers to as the shita of the Rabbanon, which would seem to be the majority opinion, and that is that the Aron was hidden. It wasn't hidden b'mkoymai in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but rather it was hidden in the Dir HaEitzim. So we mentioned the fact that the Aron was hidden, or maybe not, and then the Gemara digressed a little bit, mentioned another machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish and the Rabbanon, and that is how many Aronois were there? You're accustomed to thinking there was one Aron. The Aron handed in a lot of things, most notably the Luchas, but it didn't just have the, it was one Aron. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish said there were actually two Aronois. So there was the Aron, and then there was another Aron. The purpose of the other Aron was, it was Nichnas V'yotze. It would travel sometimes together with the Yidden. If the Yidden had to fight wars, sometimes it was the secret weapon. Either way, we mentioned two interesting questions as to the nature of the Aron. Number one, what happened to the Aron at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon? Number two, one Aron or two Aronois? So the Gemara is going to very much continue to discuss these points. Says the Gemara, "Mishenignas Aron." When the Aron was hidden, Nignazim and Tzinzenet Saman, there was a jug of man that the Yidden kept with them for generations, and they kept it in the Aron. So this Tzintzenes Haman was Shirayim of the original Mon, the Mon that the Yidden had for 40 years in the Midbar. And they kept one Tzintzenes. The idea was it should be a Zecher, a Mishmeres. Like this, the Yidden should always remember of the Mon. And they used to keep it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Aron. So when the Aron was hidden, when Yeshio HaMelech hid the Aron, together with the Aron, he hid this Tzintzenes Haman. Additionally, the jug of the Shemen HaMishcha was also hidden together with the Aron. Umaklish of the Aron. Aharon had a magical stick that's mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar. It had flowers on it, had shkedim on it. That was also hidden. And the Plishtim at one point in history had sent the Yidden a gift. And that gift was kept together with the Aron, interestingly, and it was hidden together with the Aron as well. Says the Gemara, Mi Ganzai, who hid it? Yeshio Ganzai, as we mentioned, Yeshio HaMelech, one of the last kings, big tzaddik Yeshio, he's the one that hid it. Why did he hide it? Says the Braisa, because Yeshio knew the pasuk in the Teichacha, Parshas Kisavai, that says Hashem is going to take you, and he's going to take your kings. To a nation that you didn't know and that your Zaydis didn't know. Meaning, he knew that the Yidden at some point were going to end up in exile if they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Like it says in the Teuchacha. And Yeshio felt that he was living through a time that was going to bring the psukim of the Teichacha, which meant that it was just a matter of time before the Yidden were going to be sent into Galus. Amad v'ganzai, and it's for that reason he hid the Aron. Hadol d'chsev, that's pshat in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says v'yomer alavim hamavinim. So Yeshua Melech turns to the Levim that were Mevinim and to all the Yidden, HaKtoishim LaShem, he said, Tnuas Aroin HaKodesh, Babayis HaShabano Shloimoi, Ben David Melech Yisrael. Take the Aron HaKodesh and you should put it in the house that Shloimoi Melech built, meaning put it somewhere in the base of HaMikdosh, Ein Lochem. Maso Bakosef. What did he mean by those final words? Amar lehem. What he told them was, if the Aron's going to go into Golos with you, what he was saying was that you're not going to bring it back. So if we lose the Aron, it's not coming back with us. And as a result, he said, what you need to do is, we have no choice but to hide it. We're going to be missing out on the avoid of the Aron. So he said, you'll have to serve the Eibishter in other ways. But in terms of the Aron, that's something that has to be hidden. So we mentioned the Shemen HaMishcha. Why do we mention the Shemen HaMishcha? Because it was hidden by Yeshio HaMelech together with the Aron, according to the Shittas that hold the Yeshio HaMelech hid the Aron. So we're going to digress now and talk a little bit about the Shemen HaMishcha. So the Shemen HaMishcha was oil that was made in a very, very specific way, specific ingredients, specific recipe, meaning how much of each ingredient there had to be, had to be cooked in a certain way. And the purpose of the Shemen HaMishcha was to take it and to be mekadesh, different things that were used in the service of Hashem. So the Mishkan had to be smeared with the Shemen HaMishcha, the Kalim of the Mishkan, the kings of Klal Yisrael, the Kehanim Gedolim. So that was the purpose of the Shemen HaMishcha. Now, the Torah, when it mentions the Shemen HaMishcha, says as follows, Va'ato kach lecho besamim rosh. Okay, what should these besamim be? Murderer, that's an ingredient, chamesh meyos, 500 worth, we'll see what that is. V'kin moin besen, that's the second ingredient, machtzise chamishim umasayim, which the Gemara is going to understand to mean 250 worth. U'knei boisam, that's the third ingredient, chamishim umasayim, another 250. V'keda chamesh meyos, and keda should also be 500. Now, 500 what? 250 what? B'shekel ha-kodesh. So a shekel is currency, but it's also a weight. So you should take 500 of murderer, 250 of kinman besem, 250 of kinei besem, and another 500 of kida. If you add it up, it's 500 plus 250 plus 250 plus 500. What you end up with is 1500 weight of this shekel hakodesh. And together with that, you should take shemen zayis hin, a hin of shemen zayis. What do you do with that? The next pasuk says vasisa oisay shemen mishchas kodesh. From this, you're going to make the shemen hamishcha mirkachas Roikach Maiser Roikeach Shem Mishchas Kodesh here. What does this all mean exactly? Says the Gemara. Pitam Shem and Mishchav Atakach Lecha Vechulu. This is a long Vechulu. Vekidach Hamesh Meyois Vechulu Shehein. If you add up all the numbers like we spoke out, Elav Hamesh Meyos Man. It's going to be 1,500 Man. What the pasuk refers to as Shekel Hakodesh Shem and Zayisin. Together with the 1,500 of these four different minim, there should be a hin of Shem and Zayis. What's a hin? Shnei Masal Log. It's 12 log. The purpose of the oil was to cook these roots, to cook these besamim together with the oil. So they were cooked in the oil. They didn't cook it in the oil. Rather, they cooked it in the water. But afterwards, they would take the oil, pour it on top of it. And the purpose was for the oil that's poured on top of these minim to absorb some of the smell of the minim. Afterwards, they would remove it. Like the people that make besamim, this is what they do. And Hadol Dechsev, Rabbi Yehuda said, that's what the end of the pasuk means when it says, V'asisa oisai shemen mishchas kodesh, roikach mirkachas maser rekech. It means do it in the way that they usually do it. They cook it in water, and then they pour some oil on top of it, and the oil absorbs some of the smell, and that gives the oil this very nice fragrance. Regardless, as it relates to how the shemen hamishcha was made, so some Sukkim that are stumim, but at the same time, a machloik is between Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Reb Meir, these four minim, this taroivis, was cooked in a hin of Shemen Zayis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was cooked in water. There was a hin of Shemen Zayis that was poured on top of it. The idea was for it to absorb the fragrance. Akhti Gemara Tani Abrais, Rabbi Loi said, Shemen HaMitzcha Shasam HaYishu BaMidu, Shemen HaMitzcha Meshu Beinu Meinu, the Mitzcha Masa Nisim Nasa Bay Mitzchil Vatsoib. It was all Maisa Nisim, literally from when it was made until throughout the generations when it was used, it was all Maisanism. Because how much Shemen Zayis was there initially in the Taruvis of the Shemen HaMishcha? The Pasuk says it was a hin. A hin is 12 log. That was the whole story. Shenema Shemen Zayis hin. Now, in Lasach Bayisav, Ikrin Leher Yosefik, if you would take the 1,500 manim, and you would try to smear it with 12 log of oil, it wouldn't be enough oil. Alachas kama v'kama, certainly. Sha'ur b'leya. If you're going to cook it now together with oil, what's going to happen? The fire is going to absorb some of the oil, so you're going to have less than a hin. V'itzim b'olim, the wood that's going to be used inevitably in the cooking process is also going to absorb some. V'yoyre b'olas, Yerideya 101, the vat is going to be b'leya some of it. So really, at the end of the day, you'd be left with less than the actual hin now. What was the purpose of the oil? It wasn't just used to smear or to cook together with the ikrin. Rather, we meant the mishkan and all the kelim were smeared with it. Aharon, the kohen gadol, and his sons. Kol shivus meiblon for 7 days consecutively. We meant nimshchu kehanim gedolim malachim, and the kehanim gedolim malachim were smeared with it as well throughout the generations. So this wasn't something that was just used at one time. It was constantly used, and there was so little shemen hamishcha. So, mitchilo v'atzoif, the amount of shemen hamishcha that was used initially in the recipe wasn't enough. That's mitchilo was ma'isenisim, ulubesoif, and somehow this was a pach shemen that was used endlessly throughout the generations, and clearly says the Gemara, what you take away from here is what Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Loi said, and that is the shemen hamishcha was ma'isenisim mitchilo v'atzoif, says the Gemara, melech betchilo tov mashicha, when a king was anointed as king for the first time, so he had to have mashicha with the Shemen HaMishcha, meaning a Melech Batchila is someone whose father wasn't a king. So he's a self-made king. He was found fit to be king, nothing to do with his yichus. So then, when he became Melech, they used the Shemen HaMishcha. Melech ben Melech, what about a king whose father was a king? Ein Tan Mashiach. My time, what's the card to this? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Kum Mishacheyu Ki Zehu, the Makar to using the Shemen HaMishcha for a king is David Melech Yisrael. Now, David HaMelech's father wasn't a king. Yishai wasn't a king. Shmuel came to Yishai and he told him, one of your sons was chosen by Hashem to be the king. But Yishai himself was not the king. And the Pasuk, when it describes the Mashiach of David, it says, Kum Mishacheyu Ki Zehu. This is the one. Zeh is a Lashon Miut. Zeh ton Meshicha. The En Benoi ton Meshicha. David HaMelech was going to require Meshicha. But David HaMelech's son was not going to require Meshicha. And in fact, no Melech ben Melech was going to require Meshicha. Avol says the Braisa, Koyin Gadol, Ben Koyin Gadol, Afilu Ad Asara Doiro is ton Meshicha. Koyin Gadol, Ben Koyin Gadol, even 10 generations worth, always requires Meshicha. So a Melech ben Melech doesn't need Meshicha, but a Koyin Gadol ben Koyin Gadol does require Meshicha. The Kulei Kayim Lasad Lava. So on the topic of the Shemen HaMishcha, that we said that it was used throughout the generations for so many different purposes, Lasad Lava, we're going to have it again. Kulei Kayim. It sounds like all the Shemen. Literally, this is a Hanukkah story. All the Shemen is going to be around Lasad Lava Yado, the Chsiv, that's Pshan, the Pasuk that says, Shemen Mishchas Koidesh Gia, Zeli Ledoiroi Seichem, Yez Alashin Asid, it's going to be here Ledoiroi Seichem for future generations. So you can't do Mashiach to kings only by a Mayan. A Mayan is a natural spring. So the purpose of Mashiach being by a Mayan is because a spring flows naturally and consistently and constantly. A Mayan amiskaver. Say a moichchen amalachin elga agabi a Mayan. Remember, as the pasuk says, "Verkafte meshloimoi bnei alapirdo." You should take shloimoi melech and you should put him on a mule. Asherli vayiradet amoyse el gichon. You should bring him to gichon. That was a Mayan. Umashachoy soy shom tzadik akoyim and asan anavi lemelech al Yisrael. You see that shloimoi melech had meshicha. Where was shloimoi melech's meshicha? It was by the Mayan. So this is the way that you're supposed to do. Now the truth is, there's an obvious question. We just said that ein Moishchin Melech ben Melech, and the Makar is David. Kumishacheu kizehu zeton Meshicha ve'in benoy ton Meshicha. And now we said another halacha regarding the Meshicha of a Melech, and the Raya is from Shloima that Shloima Melech had the Meshicha. I thought there's no Meshicha by Melech ben Melech. Shloima is the epitome of a ben Melech. His father was David Melech. Says the Gemara, ein Moishchin Melech ben Melech elu b'nei amachlik. Even though we just said ein Moishchin Melech ben Melech, but there is an exception to the rule. If there's a need to do it to solidify a king's malchus mepnei amachlokes, then we would do it. And the Braisa brings four examples of this. Number one, neima nimshach Shloima. Why did Shloima Melech have Meshicha? Shloima Melech was a ben Melech. Because when Shloima Melech was gonna become king, his malchus was actually being challenged by his brother Adoniyo. So because Adoniyo challenged his malchus, it was necessary to solidify his malchus, and the way they did it was the Shemen HaMishcha, Yoyosh. Why did Yoyosh have Meshicha? Mipnei Asalyo. It was because of Asalyo, who was Yoyosh's grandmother. But it was because of Asalyo's contention to the Malchus that Yoyosh needed to have Meshicha. Yehoyachos, he was one of the kings of Yoshio HaMelech. So why did Yehoyachos need Meshicha? Because he wasn't the oldest of Yoshio's sons. In fact, his brother Yehoyakim of Golus Yehoyakim fame was 2 years older than him. So again, it was necessary to show that he's really the king. And finally, Yehu. Why did Yehu have Shemen HaMishcha Mepnei Yoram? Because Yoram was there and he wanted to take the Malchus from Yehu. So again, even though there are rules and regulations in terms of when you do Meshicha, but sometimes we make an exception to the rule. And that is Mipnei HaMachloikis. And the Gemara gave four examples of it. Shloima, Yoyosh, Yehoyachas, and Yehu. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. The fourth example was Yehu. Yehu was a Melech Yisrael. But a Melech Yisrael, he wasn't one of the Malchei Beis David, he was one of the Malchei Yisrael. So after Eretz Yisrael was divided in the times of Rechavam and Yeravam, so there would be two lineages of Melachim. You had the Malchei Beis David, they all were descendants of David HaMelech, some were Tzadikim, some were Rishon, but there were hundreds of years of kings that all descended from David HaMelech. But then there was another track. There was the Malchei Yisrael. Frey to Gemara. Does it make sense that a Melech Yisrael, as opposed to a Melech from David HaMelech's family, should require Meshicha? Bechura not. Why? Because like King Ksif, didn't we just say that the Makar to doing Meshicha for a Melech is the Pasuk Kum Meshacheyu Kizehu. And we learn from there, Zetan Meshicha. So much so that a Melech, Ben Melech, doesn't need Meshicha. Why? Because it's not similar to David. So if it has to be similar to David, if David is the paradigm of a Melech that requires Meshicha, now David wasn't a Melech ben Melech, his father Yishai wasn't a Melech, therefore Melech ben Melech doesn't need Meshicha, so we should make the following drasha, ve'in Melech Yisrael to a Meshicha, then a Melech Yisrael shouldn't require Meshicha either. So why is Yehu getting Meshicha? So the Gemara says that I'll answer this kasha with a kasha. Again, what's the question? We mentioned that Yehu had Mashiach. Ayu was a melech ben melech. The teretz is mipnei yoyram. It was mipnei machloikis. This is one of the four examples that the Braisa gives for even though a Mashiach melech ben melech, but at the same time, mipnei machloikis, sometimes we do a Mashiach. Why is Yehu getting Mashiach anyways? Yehu was from the Malchi Yisrael. I thought the Malchi Yisrael shouldn't get Mashiach. Why? Because it's not similar to David. What's up to a David? Kum Mashiachayu. Kizehu. So the Gemara says, I'll answer with a question. Elo, Yehoyachas, mipnei Yehoyach namach. Mentioned that Yehoyachas was also one of the Melech ben Melechs that had Mashiach. Why? He was a Melech ben Melech. So he got to be Menush Teshan because his brother Yehoyachin was 2 years of fighting him off Yeshio Gonzai. How did Yehoyachin get Mashiach at all? Who was Yehoyachin? His father, Yeshio. Yeshio was the one at the beginning of the daf that hid the Shemin HaMishcha. So there was no Shemin HaMishcha. So what's Pashup Shad? Hadar Amra must be Bafar Samayim Nimshach. When we say that he had Mashiach, he didn't have Mashiach with Shemin HaMishcha. Rather, he had Mashiach with Afar Samayim. Afar Samayim was some very expensive type of oil. But the point is that it wasn't the Shemin HaMishcha. So ideally, a melech's Mashiach would have been with the Shemin HaMishcha. But what the Brice is saying is that there were times, in fact twice, where a king was given Mashiach, and he was given Mashiach with Afar Samayim. They didn't have Shemin HaMishcha, or the Shemin HaMishcha was inappropriate. In the case of Yehoyachas, the son of Yoshio, they didn't have the Shemin HaMishcha. Yehoyachas, his father Yoshio, had already hid it. In the case of Yehu, it was simply inappropriate because he was one of the Malchi Yisrael. He wasn't one of the Malchi Beis David. But at the same time, they did a Mashiach with Afar Samayim, and they did it Mepnei HaMachloikis. They did it simply so that on some level we could solidify the Malchus. More halachas related to Mashiach. When you do Mashiach with a Melech, you should do it from a horn, meaning the vessel that's used to do the Mashiach should be a keren. Shol v'yehu nimshchu min apach. Shol and Yehu, they both received their Mashiach from a pach, from a jug. Hoysa malchus and malchus averus. And their malchus didn't really have a kiyum. David and Shlomo nimshchu min a keren. David and Shlomo, however, they received Mashiach from a keren. Hoysa malchus and malchus kayemes. And their malchus did last. A moishchen koyhanim melochim. A koyen is not allowed to be a melech. Omer Rab Yuda Antundaryo Al Shem Layasu Shevim Yehuda. The makar to this is, it says in the pasuk Layasu Shevim Yehuda. What does that mean? It means that the Malchus has to dafka be in Shevet Yehuda, ideally from the family of David HaMelech, but from Layasu Shevim Yehuda we learn that only from the Shevet of Yehuda. A Koyim, by definition, is from Shevet Levi. And as a result, Ein Moishchen Koyhanim Meloch. Amrab Chibarad, Laman Yaruch Yomam, Mamlach, Tuvan, Amakar, Vizol. I have a different Makar. That Ein Moishchen Koyhanim Melochim. It says, Laman Yaruch Yomam, Mamlach, Toy. Maxi Basre, what does the Pasuk say afterwards? Lo Yil, Koyhanim, Alevim. So you see from here, Malchus, and then afterwards it says Koyhanim. And we learn from there that you can't have a Melech from Koyhanim. What would be a nafkimina between the two Makaris? What about from a different Shevet? If the Makar is Layasa Shevet Yehuda, so it doesn't matter what Shevet, not only Koyhanim. If the Makar is L'man Yarech Yomim HaMamlachtoi Loyia L'Koyhanim HaLevim, then it would only be Dafka from the Koyhanim and the Levim. Of course, Exhibit A for a situation where there were Koyhanim that were Malachim is the family of the Chashmoinam. The Gemara says that for 103 years, the Koyhanim didn't just rule Klal Yisrael, the Chashmoinam, but rather they were actually kings. And the Ramban famously in Parashas Vayechi says that they violated this passage in the Torah of Layasa Shevet Miyehuda. So we mention Yehoyachas, the son of Yeshia. Why did we mention him? Because we said that even though the Allah is Ein Moishchin Melech Ben Melech, but Mepnei Machloikis Moishchin. And we gave four examples of such a concept. Shloima Mepnei Machlukta Shal Adoniyo, Yoyosh Mepnei Asalyo, Yehoyachas mipnei Yehoyakim and Yehu mipnei Yoyrim. And what was so special about Yehoyachas? Because Yehoyachas had an older brother whose name was Yehoyakim. So we're going to talk a little bit about Yehoyachas, his brother Yehoyakim, and really specifically about the sons of Yoshio. So the pasuk is in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes Vav. It says, Ubnei Yoshio habechor Yoichanon, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkiyo, Haravi Shalom. So the pasuk mentions four sons of Yoshio. Now the truth is that just from a very, very superficial knowledge of history and of today's daf, there's two horrors you have to ask. Number one, we've been talking about Yehoyachas, the son of Yoshio. Pasuk doesn't mention Yehoyachas. It mentions Yoichanan, Yoyakim, Tzidkiyo, and Shalom. What happened to Yehoyachas? Number two, the most famous, perhaps, of Yoshio's sons is not mentioned in the pasuk. Yechanya, also known as Yehoyachim. Yechanya of Mikilas Esther fame, of Golus Yechanya fame. So there's no mention over here of Yechanya. So obviously this pasuk is Einoi Omer Ella Dershuni. Sagt die Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabbi Yochanan. Who Yochanan? Who Yoyachs? You want to know why Yoyachs is not mentioned in the Pasuk? It's Yoyachanan. HaBachar Yoyachanan really means Yoyachs. It's very how could that be? Vaksiv HaBachar Yoyachanan. It says he was the Bachar. And we just said that Yoyachas needed Mashiachah because he had an older brother, Yoyachim. How could Yoyachanan be Yoyachas? That would make him the Bachar. And the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says Abchar Yoichanan, and we know Yoyachas wasn't the Bechar. Yoyachim was older than him. So the Gemara says, you know what the Pasuk means when it refers to him as the Bechar? It means Bechar Lamalchus. It means he was the first king. But he wasn't the Bechar genetically. Amr Rabbi Yoichanan. Rabbi Yoichanan said another statement. He said, who's Shalom, who's Tzidkiyo? Shalom and Tzidkiyo are the same person. Right, the Gemara, how could that be? Vaksiv HaShlishi Tzidkiyo, Harvi Shalom. We mentioned two of the four sons, Tzidkiyo and Shalom. Okay, so you'll tell me it's the same person? How could he be called the Shlishi and the Ravi? So the Gemara says, Shlishi Lutaldus. He was the third born. Ravi Lamalchus. He was the fourth as it relates to the king. So what's the question? If he's the fourth as it relates to the king, so who is the third? We have Yoichanan, who's Yoyachas. We have Yoyachim. And then Tzidkiyo and Shalom are the same person. So we only have three sons mentioned. You tell me he's the Shlishi L'Toldes, he's the Revi L'Malchus. If he's the Revi L'Malchus, that means there's another son that's missing over here. So who's missing? The Teretz is Yechanya, Yehoyachim. So even though he's not mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk, but he's referenced in the Pasuk by saying HaRevi Shalom, that implies that there's another son. It's not Tzidkiyo, because Tzidkiyo and Shalom are really the same person. So the Gemara said Tzidkiyo and Shalom are the same person. Why would this one person have two names? So the Gemara, because his name symbolized something about him. Tzidkiyo, because he did Tzidkiyo Kadin. Tzidkiyo Kadin is when something bad happens to someone and the person turns to Hashem and says Tzidkoscha Tzedek Liyoylam V'sayrascha Emet. That's what Tzidkiyo Kadin is. Tzidkiyo had a lot of tzaras at the end of his life. He was the melech at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. He saw terrible tragedy and terrible tzaras. And Afal Pikein, he was matzdik Hadin. He told the Eibishter, I agree, everything that happened, we deserved. And it's for that reason he got the name Tzidkiyo, which was indicative of his essence of being a person was that was Tzidek Olav Midas Adin Shalom. Why is it called Shalom Shalom Yomav Shalom Malchus Beis David? Because Rachman al Tzlan was during his lifetime that Malchus Beis David until Mashiach ben David came to a temporary pause. Rishlokish Amr Rishlokish said Loi Shalom Avishme. His name wasn't Shalom. V'loi Tzidkiyo Avishme. His name wasn't Tzidkiyo either. Elo, you don't want to know what his real name was. Matanyo. Hadol Duchsid, there's a pasuk that says Vayam Lech Melech Bavel Es Matanyo Doidoi Tachta Vayas. It's a pasuk that Matanya's name was Tzidkiyo. That was really his name. Zok Digimar. So we're going to return now to where the daf initially started, really momentarily, and that is the topic of the aron. So the daf began Mishenignas ha'aroi, Nignas imoi, V'chulu Shemen HaMishcha, a whole Amid Gemara related to Shemen HaMishcha. We're now going to return to the initial point of the daf, and that was the fact that the Aron was in it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Aron. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, the Aron was made ba'amos shel shisha tefachim, hayu aron asi, with amos that were made of six tefachim. So if you ask somebody, how big is an amos? Tell you six tefachim. The truth is, that's not entirely true. Because in different sugyas hashas, there's a discussion amongst Tanoim with regards to different types of amos. Bigger amos, smaller amos, amos benoinios. So there's the amo, the standard, which is six tefachim, but there's also an amo that's smaller, that's only made up of five tefachim. There's also an amo that's made up of more than six tefachim. So said Rabbi Yochanan, the amo that the Torah talks about when describing the Arun was Amosayim v'chetzi argoy, 2.5 amos long, amo v'chetzi rochboy, amo and a half wide, v'amo v'chetzi koymasoy, and amo and a half tall. So what type of amos are we discussing? We're discussing the amo that's six tefachim. That's Rabbi Yochanan says. So man, tana, who's the Tana that Rabbi Yochanan must be going like? That ba'amo shal shisha tefachim. Rameir must be Rameir. Tamu them to Mishra. Rameir says, kol amos hayi bevoinias. All the amos of the Beis Hamikdash and the Kliya Mikdash wa Amos Beinoinius, and Amos Beinoinius, that's the middle Amos, it's the one that's six tefachim. Yehuda says that no, Amos HaBinyan Shisha, the Amos of the Binyan, of the actual Mishkan, were made up of six Amos. But Shal Kelim Chamisha, the Kelim was fought, now the Aron was a Keli. So Rabbi Yochanan said that the Aron was Amos Shal Shisha Tefachim. So obviously he's going according to Rameir, he's not going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to do a little bit of math here. Al Daiti de Rameir, according to Rameir, that says that the Amos of the Aron was 6 tefachim. So it comes out like this. Du Amar, it comes out as follows. Ba'am shal shisha tefachim, ayorin asu, yorka shal Aron, chamisha asa tefachim. It's going to come out that the length of the Aron was made up of 15 tefachim. And the Gemara does all the work for us. Tchsev, amasayim v'chayetze yorka, because the Aron was 2.5 amas long. Now, amso ashiso. Every am, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's going out, libid Ram Meir, is 6 tefachim. The amso ashiso. So you have one amas, which is 6 tefachim, another amas that is 6 tefachim. This is literally a worksheet of the Gemara. We're going through each line item. Upalgosama, half amas plus is 3 tefachim. So it comes out, 2.5 amas is 6 plus 6 plus 3, which is 15 tefachim. Okay, vabba luchas hayu bai. Rameir must hold that there were 4 luchas inside the aron. Shnaim shlemim to a hole, ushnaim shvurim to a broken. The second luchas, the luchas shnias, were whole, and the luchas rishonis were broken. The pasuk says, asher shi barta. So the luchos harishonis that were broken were placed in the aron. Okay, haluchos ha'yikolechav echad arkashisha tefachim v'rach b'shloisha. The luchos were all 6 tefachim long and 3 tefachim wide. Tein rachban shal luchos la'arkan shal aron. Take the width of the luchos, which were 3 tefachim, put it along the length of the aron, which was 15 tefachim. So you're going to have now 4 luchos. The luchas rishonis and the luchas shniyos, each one is 3 tefachim wide. You can align them up, 3 next to 3 next to 3 next to 3. 3 times 4 is 12, along the length of the aron, which is amasayim v'chetzi arkoi, which if it's ba'ama bashisha tefachim is going to be 15 tefachim. So you're going to have 12 tefachim of luchas and 15 tefachim of aron. Nishtayu sham shloisha tefachim. You can end up is 3 tefachim of odef. Temiyem chatzi tefach l'chol kaisel. So what he did was, on each wall, we left off a half a tefach. Nishtayu shei tefachim l'sefer Torah. There's still 2 tefachim left over. What was the purpose of those 2 tefachim? Sefer Torah. The pasuk says in Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, the Moshe Rabbeinu built a sefer Torah. We wrote a sefer Torah. We spoke about this a little bit yesterday. And the purpose of the sefer Torah was to remain with the Yidden. And this would always be the sefer that would be looked at if there was ever a shaila, if the Leviim had questions. Either way, there was a sefer Torah. Where was that sefer Torah? It was in the Aron. Where was their room in the Aron? So we just mapped it out. Because the Aron itself was 15 tefachim long. You had the 4 luchas, luchas rishonis, luchas shniyos, which took up 12 tefachim, a half a tefach of just space that you can take things in and out. And then you had the 2, and you had the sefer Torah, which made up the other 2 tefachim. Sok the Gemara, that's the Aron on the length. Rachbei shel Aron, what was the width of the Aron? It was tisha tefachim, it was 9 tefachim. How do you know that? The chesiv, again, the Gemara is going to do all the work for us. It says, ama v'chetzi rachbein, ama and a half was the with amso ashiso, and am is 6 tefachim, upalgas amso tlas, a half am is 3 tefachim, so it comes out you have 9 tefachim. Now, arba luchas hayu by the word 4 luchas, shnaim shlemim, shnaim shvur, tichsev asher shi barta v'sam tabar. Haluchas hayu kol echad echad, how big were the luchas? We just said, arkan shisha tefachim, v'rachman shleisha tefachim. There were 6 tefachim long, and there were 3 tefachim wide. 10 arkan shal luchas. Now, we put the width of the luchas connected the length of the aron, so we're going to have to take the length of the luchas and put it connected the width of the aron. Nishtayu sham shleisha tefachim. You can end up with 3 tefachim. You have 9 tefachim of width of aron, and you have 6 tefachim of length of luchas. But it's only 6 tefachim. It's not 6 times 4. It's all 6 tefachim. They're lined up along their width. So it's the same 6 tefachim. So you have 9 versus 6, nishtayu sham, what's the difference? Shloisha tefachim. Chatzi tefach mikan l'koisel zeh, v'chatzi tefach mikan l'koisel zeh. You put a half a tefach by on the side of each wall, utvachaim l'shilu makam shesefer Torah murach, and we had 2 tefachim, 1 tefach on each side. It's like this, you'd be able to take the sefer Torah in and out. So a little bit of space was there to remove the sefer. Sounds like we're removing more the sefer Torah than the luchas. Why would you have to remove the luchas? But the sefer Torah is something that would have to be removed, and that's why there had to be a little bit of space so it should be comfortable. Shim ben Lakish amar, Shim ben Lakish argued with Rabbi Yochanan. So again, we're going back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that all the amos of the aron was 6 tefachim. We said Rabbi Yochanan is going a little bit to Rabbi Meir that holds that the amos of the Mishkan and of the Kelim were benoinios, which means 6 tefachim. So when it says amosayim v'chetzi yarkoi, it means 2.5 times 6. It means 15. When it says amos v'chetzi yarachmi v'amos v'chetzi kamas, it means 1.5 times 6. It means 9. The aron wasn't made with amos that are 6 tefachim, but rather amos that were 5 tefachim. Which tana must Rav Shimon ben Lakish go according to Rabbi Yehuda? It must be going to Rabbi Yehuda. You know, tell him, we learned over there. Where's there? The 17th parak in Masechtas Kelim. Rabbi Yehuda said, amasa binyan shisha tefachim, v'shal hakelim chamisha. The am of the kelim was 5 tefachim. V'hahein aron kliu, and the aron was a keli. So if the aron was a keli, so that's what the numbers was going to be. Zok to Gemara, al daite de Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, du amar, ba amma shal chamisha tvachem hoyo orkoi shal aron asoi. The aron was made with amas of five tvachem. Okay, so what's the math? So we did the math according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to do it now according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Reish Lakish. So it comes out that the length of the Aron was 12 and a half tvachim. The Chassid, the Pasuk says, Amosayim v'chatzi yarkoi, Amso chamisho. According to Reish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Cheshbin is an Amos five tvachim, Amso chamisho. Another Amos, another five tvachim, Pagasam chetrei play. And a half Amos is two and a half. So it comes out 5 + 5 + 2.5 is 12 and a half. Arba luchas hayubai, there were four luchas, shnaim, shlem, shnaim, two whole and two were broken. That doesn't change. That's constant. It was 6 tvachim long and 3 tvachim wide. 10 rachman shal luchas l'arkman shal aron. Put the width of the lucha is connected the length of the aron. So the width of the lucha is 3 times 4, which is 12. Connected the length of the aron, which is 2.5 times 5, which is 12 and a half, and ishtar sham chatzi tefach. What you have is a half a tefach left over. Etzba l'koysel mikan, v'etzba l'koysel mikan. A little bit of room on each side, but that's it. Because all you have is a half a tefach, which means, by the way, there's no room for a sefer Torah. We'll see that in a minute. Rach b'yishal aron shivet tefach v'mechza. What about the width of the aron? 7.5 tvachim. Dechsev, amo v'chatzi rach. Amso chamisho, and amo, we're going as 5 tvachim. Palgos amcha trei plek, which means a half amo is 2.5. V'arbo luchais hayu by the before luchais. Shnaim shleim shleim shfur. Dechsev asher shabbat v'san debar. V'aluchais hayu lechat echad orkan shisha tvachim v'rachim shleisha tvachim. 6 by 3. 10 orkan the rach v'eshal arim. So you take now the length of the luchais, and you put it connected the width of the arim. V'rishtai yisham tefach v'mechza. What you're going to be left with is a tefach and a half. Because the length of the luchais is 6 tvachim, the width of the aron is 7.5 tvachim, it's 5 × 1.5, you're going to be left with 1.5. So what do? Etzpel koysel mikan, etzpel koysel mikan, put a little bit on by each koysel, v'chatzi tefach mikan, v'chatzi tefach mikan, l'shilo, and then a little bit of extra room, l'shilo, it's like this, you'll be able to remove things in and out. Just one more Gemara. How exactly did Aharon make the aron? He made it using 3 boxes. There were 3 boxes that were used for the aron. He used shtayim shalzav, 2 were gold, one was with shalzav, nasan shalzav v'shalayitz. He put the one that was made from gold into the one that was made from wood, v'shalayitz v'shalzav, and then the one from wood inside the one of tzipo. And then he coated the rim of the tap of the one that was wood. So there were 3 boxes, 3 tevois. Gold, wood. The one that was wood needed to be coated now with gold. The pasuk says, "V'tzipisa oisay zavtar mibayis umibchutz tetzapen." My problem with tetzapen. Why say tetzapen? It was 2nd time. Right? V'tzipisa oisay zavtar once mibayis umibchutz tetzapen twice. Why do I have to say it twice? Havis fasayel yoyin. It's coming to be married by that tap rim. So there were 3 boxes. 2 were gold. 1 was wood. The 2 that were gold were coated gold. The one that was wood seemingly remained wood. So says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Chanina said that was also coated. The top part of it, the one that is with that rim that was exposed, that was coated with gold as well. So it was really only 1 teva, v'tzipo, and he coated the chsiv, the pasuk says, v'tzipisa oisav zav tar mi bayis umi chutz. It was really all 1 teva. If it was only 1 teva, so why does it say twice v'tzipisa? V'tzipisa oisav zav tar mi bayis umi chutz tetzapen. It's 1 teva. So it's 1 teva. If it was coated in gold, so it's gold. So just say v'tzipisa, say tetzapen. Why do you have to tell it to me a second time? I'm Rapinchas. Rapinchas said, Lahavi bein nesa l'nesa. We're coming to be marba, the area between the nesarim, between the boards, that even that area was coated with gold.